time for the truth. Will you join me in studying the Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? This can be accomplished by the study of His precious Word, and that's what we're here today to do, is to enjoy the study of His precious Word. We're in the book of Jonah, and we're in the fourth chapter, and we're going to read the whole chapter, verse 1 through 11. So if you would please open your Bibles to that you can follow along. And while you're doing that, I would like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. It is so important that you come to study and enjoy the Word of God. And you know, if you don't have a church home, or you've been listening to the radio program and you'd like to come and meet us, why, we'd love for you to do that. And if you'll just come down 136, and as you come to Casey's or the Dairy Queen straight across the highway, why, turn one block north and you'll find the church there. And so please, that you'll come and join us. And it's just a great day that we can come and study the Word of God and enjoy the Word of God. And we do that each time we get together. And you know, we have church. Here we have Sunday school first at 9:30, and at 10:35 we have the church service, and then on Sunday night we come back again to a Bible study in the book of Isaiah on Sunday night, and then on Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock is a ladies' Bible study, and right now they're beginning a study in Revelation. And so I know that you'd enjoy that, ladies, and so please, if you'd like to come, why, just they meet here at the church, and so come and enjoy that. And then again on Wednesday night here at the church at 7 o'clock, we're studying the book of Numbers, and we've just discussed Balak and Balaam. And so if you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, why, please come and study with us. If you don't have, you know, if you got a church home and you don't have study on Sunday night or Wednesday night, please come and join us. And now, if you've had an opportunity to open your Bibles, because I always want you to read along with me, please follow along as we begin at verse 1, chapter 4 of the book of Jonah. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness, and repentance thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, I beseech thee my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made a booth for himself and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did rise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished him in himself to die, and said, It is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And I should not spare Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 60,000 persons, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle. Let's go to the Lord after the reading of His precious Word before we begin the study. Father, we thank You today that we can come and search His precious Word. And this sweet book of Jonah in my Bible, Father, is only 3 pages long, and yet we've spent week after week enjoying the precious time. And I know, Father, how much I learn from this precious book, and I ask that You will touch the hearts and change the lives of each and every one that's listening, that they too will enjoy this precious Word and come to know the Lord Jesus, and then come to grow in the Lord Jesus through the studies that we have. Please, Lord, that You'll touch our hearts and show us what You have for us this day as we look through this fourth chapter. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. To look at this sweet little book, and to just as we do each time, And we've kind of started midstream there by reading chapter 4, verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. You know, I need to catch you up just a little bit where we left last week. You know, when we have so many studies from each night as we come together and on one night a month, we have an additional Bible study in La Harpe, and so there are some times that we will prepare 6 and 7 different Bible studies each week, and I think every week it's 6 different studies. And you know, it's such a joy to study the Word of God, and it's a joy to proclaim the Word of God, and it's such a joy to watch people as that Word touches their heart and changes their lives, and they realize that they're a sinner and they're lost, and they realize that all they have to do is come by faith to Jesus. And they ask Him, Jesus, please will You forgive me? That's a repentant heart. I mean, when those words come from your mouth, yes, but the feeling comes down deep from your heart, because you know in your heart that you're a sinner and you're lost and you need to be saved. When you get to that point that the Word of God, by the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon your heart, convicts you of sin and makes you realize how hopeless and how helpless and how worthless we really are, then is the time that we look unto God, because His Word draws us unto Him and brings us to the cross of Calvary, where we can come to know Jesus, and we can do that so simply by just calling upon Him. Please, Jesus, come into my heart and save me, is all you have to say. And when your heart is turned to Him, He will save you, and the Holy Spirit immediately comes to live within. And from that time on, you have the presence of God with you everywhere you go. Every waking hour and every sleeping hour, every minute of the day, you have the Holy Spirit within your heart to walk each day. The very presence of God. And that's the reason that as we come to know Jesus, yes, you meet Him at the cross, but then we also come to grow in the Lord Jesus as we walk each day after Him. And you know, this man Jonah, for him to make a statement here in verse 4 that displeased Jonah exceedingly, he was very angry, the Scripture tells us. You know, Jonah first was told, and we kind of covered some of that as we read the 4th chapter there, how that Jonah was called, and Jonah didn't listen to the call. He immediately got up and ran away. And then he was swallowed by thrown overboard, swallowed by the great fish, and then the fish vomited him back out upon the land. And then at that time, why, he listened once again to the second call. We have that in the beginning of verse 1 of chapter 3. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach against." That time he arose and went towards Nineveh. That time God had his attention. And so Jonah, and you think at this time that we have a man that repented, we have the words he in verse 3 of chapter 3, "So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Now, Nineveh was a great and exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. We have the condition of Jonah's heart in the second chapter. We have here in verse 6, "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains and the earth with its bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought my life from corruption, O Lord my God. And when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came unto thee, unto thine holy temple. And they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Now when Jonah got to that place, then again he was to the place where God could use him. And you know, a lot of times we have to get to that place where God can use us. It's so sad that we do not listen carefully to the words of God. And as the Word of God comes unto us, that we would be obedient to listen and do what He tells us to do so quickly. But instead of that, we're much like Jonah. We decide we're going to do our own thing, and so we do. We carry on about our own business and ignore the will of God, the way of God, the proclaiming of the precious Word of God, that folks around us will come to know Jesus and come to grow in Jesus. We don't care about that, I guess. We're okay, that's all, and I'm not going to force my religion upon someone else. Well, if you're around me very long, you'll find out that I despise that word religion. because I'm a Christian. I want to be Christ-like. I want to be like Jesus Christ, Christ-like. You don't ever send me anything and you tell me Merry Christmas and put an Xmas there, because that's an insult to me, and more than that, it's an insult to my God. And you better put Christ in there, because as we come to celebrate Christmas, I want to be Christ-like, and it doesn't matter if we're coming to celebrate Christmas or coming to celebrate Thanksgiving as we've just finished, or as we're coming to celebrate Easter, whatever time of the calendar says, that doesn't matter much to me, because I enjoy every day in Jesus, and I want to be Christ-like every day. And that's what it means to be a Christian. Now, I may do things, and as I said a little earlier, the preparation of the Bible studies and the messages and the radio program and all these things that we're a part of, and yes, I do them very religiously, but I am not religious. I do them because I love Jesus, and I want the Word of God to go out, and I want it to touch your heart. I want the Word of God to change your heart. I want you to come to know the living Jesus that I know. That's what I want you to know. I plead with you and I beg you that you wake up today and recognize that you don't know Jesus. You don't understand these things that I've been talking about now. We're coming up close to our 100th program. We've enjoyed so much each week coming together with you folks and proclaiming the Word. But if you just kind of laid back and listened before you got up, or maybe you're sitting in your easy chair, you're sitting at the kitchen table, maybe you're going down the road in the vehicle, in the car or truck going to church or going somewhere else. Maybe you're one of those folks that thinks Sunday's a day set aside for hunting. For fishing. You know, you need to be in the house of God, and we know according to Hebrews we're said not to forsake the assembling. And so please that you are in the house of God. But whatever you're doing right now, I ask that you will just listen to these words, and Jesus is calling you to come to Him, and I ask that you would do that. Jonah listened to the call. He found his heart back closer unto the Lord. He was vomited out. We find again in verse 2 of chapter 3, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry, preach unto it. What are the preaching that I bid thee?" We spent a week talking about telling the truth, the Word of God. Don't listen to the philosophers of this day, because the philosophers of today are just like the philosophers of the time of Jonah, the time of Paul. You can go anywhere through the Scripture, and yet today it seems as though that the philosophy is continuing to grow and has taken over the New Testament church. And so I ask that you ignore the philosophy of today and the philosophers of today and come into the Word of God and get back to the truth. Jonah went and proclaimed what he was told to proclaim. In 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was the words according to the fourth verse of chapter 3. Now what happened? The citywide, from the top to the bottom, and we spent a week talking about this, how that it's so important that the leadership, that the mayor of the city, that the governor of the state, the president of this country, that each one of them would face their true identity and realize that what they are is nothing more than a wretched sinner, and they need Jesus Christ. And then they come into the Word of God, they listen to that precious Word, and when it tells them, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," and turn unto God and say, "God, I believe you. And I want you to come into my heart and save me." Now, if we'd start with those people that are in authority, and they would recognize their sin, and they would repent and turn unto my precious Heavenly Father, He would forgive them, and He would set them forth to grow in Him. And then that they would have the sense to follow after the truth, the Word of God. And if they're truly saved, then please listen to that Holy Spirit that's within you. If you know Jesus, you follow after that. Well, the word went out, yet in 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown, and they listened to that, and it scared them to death. They turned, and they totally turned their way of life around. This was a very wicked city. This was a Gentile city, and this was a Jew proclaiming it. Jonah was a Jew. Nineveh was a Gentile city, a very heathen, very wicked city. Jonah didn't want to go for an awful lot of reasons. Number one, don't think they'd ever listen. He didn't want to go. He didn't want these people to be saved. He didn't care about them. And boy, doesn't that sound like today. Doesn't that sound like us today? Because we're letting a whole world dying and going to hell, and we're sitting back and we really have the appearance that we don't care. And if I come to you and I ask you if you know Jesus as your Savior and it offends you, then it's going to offend you. If I tell you that all the Maharishi in Fairfield, Iowa, the Mormons in Nauvoo, if I tell you that those are cults, and the only way you can be saved if you come to the truth, the Word of God, and only the Word of God, not that little extra book that they advertise, but only the Word of God, that you can stand upon this truth. You don't have to sit there and meditate with a guru. You need to look unto one true God, Jesus Christ, and realize that He saved you upon the cross, and He died upon that cross for you, and you need to come by faith to Him and be saved. Now, please, that you look away from these other things. Look away from, you know, it's you can have this ugly little fat statue. You can have it sitting around. Some people think it's kind of cute. I tell you what, it's of the devil, and it stinks, and it's ugly, and he's just a fat little slob that you need to throw out the window if you thought he was a cute little thing to have around. Now, you know, there's all kinds of things that Satan has moved into us and moved into the church. Moved into the home of the church people. And we need to repent of those things, and we need to turn unto the presence of God as these people. And it started with the leadership and went all the way down to the bottom. And they rent their clothes off. They were so struck by these words that Jonah preached because they came with the power of God. Now, I praise God that they were not, they did not disregard the call that Jonah gave them. They weren't offended. They were so taken by that power and presence as Jonah proclaimed that. And it wasn't the man Jonah. It was the power of God. And that power touched their hearts. And that power changed their lives. And from the top to the bottom, they tore their clothes off and they sat in sackcloth and sat in ashes. And no one was to eat. No one was to drink. And let's call upon God that maybe He will turn from this and will not condemn us. Well, today, again, if I tell you that only Jesus saves, and you need to come by faith to Jesus, you need to do more than just attend church. You need to do more than just be baptized. You need to do more than be the chairman of the deacons or the chairman of the council or whatever you might have. And you can be in church and committees and never miss a service and die and go to hell. I ask you, please, I beg you that you be as these people here. You will get that pride out of your road, and you'll come to Jesus and be saved. This word arrived, and from the king on down, and they said, please, God. Well, that was the desire of God's heart, that these people would repent. And God's heart has never changed today. God's heart is that you look unto Him and be saved. You yourself are the one that is sending literally on the road to hell. On the road to that place that is eternal fire. The lake of fire. You're setting that path yourself. And by you not doing anything, and I'm talking about coming to Jesus, that's the only thing you need to do. And that's the only thing that's going to keep you from going to heaven and being saved if you deny this. If you trust upon anything else. If you trust upon the Lord's Supper. If you trust upon your baptism. If you trust upon your church role, your church attendance. And if your preacher isn't telling you that you're going to go to hell if you don't trust by faith in Jesus, I guess I'm going to have to tell you need to get in a church that does. Because that preacher is going to allow you to go right to hell. Now, if he's preaching to you, and he's telling you that you need to be saved and come by faith to Jesus, and you're not listening, then it's sure not your preacher's fault. It's your fault. Now, I ask today that you wake up. I ask that you listen to these sweet words that Jesus saves. Yes, God loves you. Yeah, God loves me so much He won't send me to hell. You're going your own way. That's not the will of God. The will of God is that you be saved. And He set forth His Son, that free gift, that you can have salvation and be saved. Please come to Jesus today. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. These people fell upon their knees and sat in ashes because they wanted, and God saw their heart. He saw their heart. Well, now that's where we started here in chapter 4, verse 1. That displeased Jonah. How can this be? How can it be that a whole city, and we have the number here of 60,000 persons, that would be 600,000 persons. And usually the list there maybe is just the men. And so it's possible here that we have way over 1 million people that live in the city of Nineveh. And if we have 1 million people in Nineveh, and from the top to the bottom, they turn from their wicked ways, and they called upon God. And that's all He wants us to do. They called upon Him, please, will you save us? Save us from this call of judgment. In 40 days, you're going to destroy us. They did. They repented. They turned. Oh, it's a joyful day that one man turns, let alone citywide. You have a citywide revival. This is one of the greatest revivals that have ever taken place in the world, ever. And Jonah was the spokesman. Jonah was the preacher. Jonah preached the message of God, and that message touched their hearts. Now today, if preacher, if you're listening this morning, if you preach the Word of God, the truth of the God, don't preach the doctrine of your church, because that may be contrary to the Word of God. We've got so much tradition wrapped up today in our churches that we can't even sort out the truth. But you've got it. You've got a Bible. If you've got a King James Bible, you open that thing up and you read down through those verses of Scripture and you let the Word of God touch your heart and penetrate your heart, preacher, so that you can know the truth. That you could be a proclaimer of the Word of God. And today when you stand up, or this week when you stand up in that pulpit, and for the first time maybe in your life, you're going to preach the truth. And those folks come. Oh, they may frown. They may sit back and fold their arms up and sit back and stare at you, think, what's the matter with this man? Well, you see, that's their problem, not yours, preacher. So, preacher, you preach on. Now, if you're one of those that's going to sit in that pew, I ask again that you listen. I ask that you be as one of the Ninevites here, this great revival. But then, now let's get down to this point here. Why was Jonah mad? It says he was displeased, Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. He prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O God, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Why am I here? He did not want, isn't it so sad that this man, this prophet of God, that he didn't want these people saved? You see, sometimes we kind of get that way. We seem to think that maybe we're better than somebody else. And we don't want to tell them how to be saved. We don't even think they deserve to hear it. Well, my friend, no one deserves hell. I'm sorry, I want to back up on that. Everyone deserves hell for the way we live. But no one has to go to hell, because we have a way, and that way is Jesus. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing makes my heart any happier than to see somebody come to Jesus. Somebody that comes and they come, we've had them come and they laugh, we've had them come and they cry, and we've had them come and they don't change at all. But they come and their heart is changed, and they begin to grow in the Word of God, and God begins to move in their heart and move in their life and convict their heart of some sin, and they move away from that sin, and then God grows them, and all of a sudden from their life begins this fruit to come and flow from them, and that fruit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's the qualities of a believer. Now, you can get a lot of people with a lot of difference of opinion as far as what the fruit of the Spirit is or action of the Holy Spirit's in your life. But I tell you what, that's what the Word of God tells us. And don't confuse it with the tongues and with healing and things of that sort. Because this here is, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, these things will begin to come from you. You'll be that way. Now today, you may be the meanest old man ever met. Or you may be the meanest woman ever lived. But if today you'll come to Jesus, God will begin to soften your heart. And He'll work with you, and you'll become one of the sweetest people ever lived. That's what Jesus does in my heart, and that's what Jesus will do in your heart, and that's what Jesus did in these people of Nineveh's heart. They saw their wickedness, and they turned from there, and they pleaded to God, that God, will you please save me, rescue me from this judgment? And He did. That's what He wanted. But the problem comes now with this man Jonah. Why would you not be so excited? Well, there's a couple reasons. Number one, judgment's not coming upon Nineveh. Because God has saw the repentant heart. So He is not going to destroy him. Jonah wanted him destroyed. They didn't deserve it. They didn't deserve this salvation. Only Israel, only the Jews in Jonah's eyes deserved this salvation. Only them and no one else. Jonah didn't care. And God finally got a hold of him to where he preached the truth. And instead of Jonah sitting back and enjoying the blessings of God with the greatest revival that the world has ever seen, Jonah folded his hands back and was displeased and was very angry. Because God saved one person or a million people? What's the matter with man's heart today? You know, we got a combination. You know, I don't understand Jonah. I don't understand how that his heart was so hard that he would prefer that these people go to hell. You know, we got churches full of people like Jonah, I'm afraid. That they kind of pick and choose who they think should be saved and who shouldn't be saved. Those that think that they're the called of God, and if you hear the word of God, and then you must be the called of God, and so then you become the elect of God. I want to proclaim the word of God. It's God's work to convict the heart and to show His truth unto a lost and dying world. It's my responsibility to preach the truth. I need to tell you that you need to be saved. I don't know what heartache or problem you're going through today. Is your health falling apart on you? Is your home falling apart? Have you lost your job? Is your business going down the drain? What's going on in your world? Are your children a problem for you? What's going on in your world today? Because I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer. And I don't want you to this preacher, Jonah, I'm not like Jonah. Because I want you to come to Jesus. I want you to be saved. I don't care what your name is. I don't care where you live. I don't care how rich or how poor you are. I want you to come to Jesus today. I don't care how miserable your family is. I don't care how good your family is. You need Jesus. That's what you need. He can put back together whatever's fallen apart this very minute. If you'll just call upon Him and be saved and then turn to His precious Word and say, God, please speak to my heart. Give me a strength and a wisdom that I've never seen before. This poor Jonah's missing every blessing that was there. Ah, that's so sad. We'll start there next week. That's so sad. My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?